हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् स्मृति श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम भद्रं कर्णे भश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति शांति शांतिः प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभर्व्याप्य लोकान् प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगांस्तविष्टान् भुक्त्वा भोगांस्तविष्टान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् नोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नः भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयम् संख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्मयत्तन्नतोऽस्मि ब्रह्मयत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगांस्तविष्टान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् పునరపిశనై స్వాత్మని స్థాపయిత్వా హిత్వా సర్వాన్ విశేషాన్ త్వా సర్వాన్ విశేషాన్ విగత గుణగణః పాత్వసో విగత గుణగణః పాత్వసో నస్తురియః స్తురియః విగత గుణగణః పాతు నః తురియః నః పాతు విగత గుణగణః పాత్వసో నస్తురియః గుణగణః పాత్వసో నస్తురియః విగత గుణగణః తురియః నః పాతు. దిస్ శంకర భగవత్పాదాస్ ది బెనడిక్టరీ వర్సెస్ when he begins every bhashyam, so beautiful, Swamiji. The whole teaching, the whole Upanishadic vision, he brings in his beautiful two verses, especially Mandukya and also Taittiriya. Every Upanishad you take, Shankara Bhagavatpada's that benedictory verse, when he writes in before he begins his commentary, in that verse he packs the whole vision. Very beautiful. I will do that. Today let us knock off this Vaiseshika, because he's sitting there. Offering my pranams to Kanada Maharshi. Today I begin my class. Okay. See, it is not difficult. Very simple teaching. But it looks as though something different, because what happened, they give the vision in this packed language. Isn't it? I try to, of course, I just see it as it is. But because we have not studied Sankhya philosophy, we do not know what his views are. Then how Shankara Bhagavatpada knocks his views, you have to understand. That is why it looks as though difficult. It's not difficult, really speaking. Let me make it very clear again. Yesterday, I briefed initially what is Vaiseshika's view. Some people say Vaiseshika's vision. No, we say Vaiseshika's samiksha. I mean, his view of the world, his view of the truth. So, of course, all these philosophers, you know, definitely must have known when they try to know the truth, when they try to talk about the truth, there must, some goal must be there. Of course, even Vaiseshika has moksha as his goal. No doubt. But not their effort. They work very hard, they come to the certain points, they see certain things, and they present. But still again, we need much, much brighter, you know. The Upanishad already has this. That is the Advaita Darshanam, vision of Advaita, non-duality of the reality, is not something, a new discovery. It's not a newly discovered fact. It is a timeless fact. Timeless fact revealed by the timeless Shastram. And then we have sometimes Sampradaya also, some timeless Sampradaya we have, and we cannot trace before Vyasa, so we just say Sadashiva Samarambham. Everything is available. One thing is, but people have to have their own views also, isn't it? And naturally we have to understand correctly things. And Shankara Bhagavatpada is very particular, help us understand. And Gaudapadacharya's aim is to help us understand how non-duality is the reality. Which means, and they're all Dvaitins. They have their own views. Therefore, the Dvaita has to be negated, means why they say, why still they have why do they consider this perception of duality, experience of duality, still as reality? As long as you consider this as the reality, there's no way of arriving at it. Duality is real. It means your the purpose of understanding the moksha. There's no moksha at all. There's no freedom. As long as we take this duality as reality. Therefore, because we are also, we make efforts because freedom is only in discovering the non-duality of the reality, and which is a fact. And we need to understand how it is not real. We don't say it is it's unreal. Even though it is available for experience, enjoyment, still it is not as real as we think. When we mistake what is not real to be real, it's called, we are overvaluing it. And this overvalue is called what? Actually, Shobhanadhyasa. Shobhanadhyasa means, silver is silver. It's a valuable metal. If I mistake it for something more than what it is, give more value is Shobhanadhyasa. Artha is useful for living this life. Money is needed for living this life. If I think money will give me happiness, then I am overvaluing it. I should be very conscious. I should not undermine, underestimate the due value, the due respect to what it is. I should know the limitation of it. What money can give me, I need money, I respect money. Okay? But I should also know what it cannot give. If I think money can give me everything, it is Shobhanadhyasa. So in the same way here, if I think, you know, this moksha is here available, accepting duality as reality, then that is Shobhanadhyasa. The only thing is, that's why the whole teaching does not change anything here. Our experience of duality cannot be changed, need not be changed. Nothing in this world can be changed, needs to be changed. Things can be as they are. Still, one can discover one's freedom, one's fullness of happiness, the permanent peace of mind, just changing one's perspective. For perspective change, what you need is only jnanam. Correction of error in our perception. Unfortunately, we do not know there's error in our perception. So, the Shastram helps us see the error in our perception. And thereby it helps us correct the error in our perception. By blessing us with the vision of what is real. Making us understand what is real. That's why all these great thinkers, great philosophers, the proponents of their own schools of thought, all of them, all their teachings are useful in a certain way, but how the question of discovering moksha comes, and their teachings have limitations. It is like saying, of course, physics or chemistry or any discipline taught in any university is not useless. It is not a waste of time. Of course, it all, every discipline of knowledge serves its own purpose. Medicine or Ayurveda, everything serves its purpose. But they are not useful when you want to understand, you know, freedom, that's the limitations. They're meant for serving some other different purpose. In the same way, all the systems of philosophy have their own, serve their own purpose, but when the question of attainment of moksha comes, and the question of having the clear vision of the truth comes, and they struggle because they have their own views. So here, now as Acharya, Gaudapada Acharya, and takes this responsibility of showing us the limitations in their views. So bowing to his feet, let us begin today. Okay. Today again, before I enter the Vaisheshika's, understand Vaisheshika's views, let me make it very clear. In this Vaisheshika school of thought, also Nyaya school of thought, in these two schools just studied together, they are of this view that Atma is one of the substances, which we saw yesterday. I told you, one of the seven padarthas, one of the nine substances, which comes under the first category, dravyam. Which means, once you say, look at this Atma as a substance, belong to the first category, that there itself is a problem starts. It is a matter. And then Atma is what? The truth. The truth is presented as one of the nine substances, which comes under the first category. And again, that Atma is all pervasive. See, they are also of this view. We are not studying the whole Vaisheshika Sangha, Vaisheshika system or Nyaya system. And they are of this view that this Atma, the inert Atma, which is inert matter, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. It's also eternal. They say this. This Atma, which is substance, is eternal, is all pervasive. And once you say it's all pervasive and eternal, it cannot have parts. For something to have parts or to have limbs, you know, it must be time-wise limited. It must be spatially limited, at least spatially limited. Only an object, a thing which is subject to time limitation, spatial limitation, can have parts. When you say it is all pervasive, Atma is all pervasive, then all pervasiveness and having parts cannot go together. Cannot have parts and cannot have limbs. And one more important thing. When you say all pervasive, Atma is all pervasive, Atma must be pervading everything that is here, including what? One's body, mind, sense complex. So then it must be pervading what? It must be pervasive of the mind also. Pervasive of the mind also. All pervasive means there's nothing which is not pervaded by the Atma. And mind must be pervaded or what already? Mind must be already pervaded. If mind is pervaded, means what? Anything which is associated with the mind must be already pervaded. Okay, when you think of mind, what all things come to your mind? Attributes. They call attributes, okay? We, in our language, we say thought modifications. In terms of knowledge, knowledge of objects, knowledge of objects, experience of objects, cognition of objects, we say cognition in our language, and all emotions, pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, heat and cold, success and failure, all these pairs of opposites. They're all pairs of opposites we experience well in terms of thoughts. So all these also attributes. Isn't it? The attributes. All of them are in terms of thoughts only. Then so we in our, in generally when we separate them, we say emotions as mind, then intellect. So they come together, they say as attributes. And what about memory? When you think of memory, you have to think of how, what is memory? How memory rises? What is this memory is also a function of mentation, which means experiences must happen, and experiences must contribute for our mental impressions known as samskaraha. Samskaras must be formed, isn't it? Repeatedly, samskaras get formed. In subtle, they're also in subtle thought forms. They call sukshma vrittayaha, okay? Subtle thought forms. So you experience the formation of samskaras presupposes experiences, and the memory presupposes the samskaras. Samskaras must be there, and they get combined, they get stored as memory. Then memory is recollectable, isn't it? Is all also mind. And mind also, according to Vaisheshika, mind also is matter. And mind also is all pervasive for them. This mind. Anyway, we don't need to worry about all pervasive. Mind is also matter. Of course, mind is matter. Atma is matter. And the two are two substances. Atma is also a substance. Mind also a substance. This is the understanding. So, when you say all pervasive, so it need not combine, associate itself with. Already it is never Atma being all pervasive. It's never away from the mind. It's never away from mind means there's no question of coming together. It is where, this is how they contradict. Once you say Atma is all pervasive, see, when is this all pervasive Atma away from the mind? Atma being all pervasive, it can never be away from anything. It can never be away from anything because all pervasive. It is already being all pervasive, not away from anything means. And where is the question of Atma combining with the mind? And what is his view of experience, the states of experience? Atma and mind, okay, come together. Come together means what? Atma, mind combine. The combination of Atma and mind happens. And this combination of Atma and mind contribute for the origination of attributes. When attributes are generated, this is his view. Already it is a problem, isn't it? How can all pervasive Atma combine with the mind? And he says, in the waking state and in the dream state, Atma combine with the mind. Therefore, the attributes are generated in the waking state and in the dream state. This all, we have to see the contradictions here already. In deep sleep state, he says, Atma or mind are not combined. There's no combination. So what happens? There's no origination of attributes. So in deep sleep state, Atma is attributeless, nirgunaha. In dream and waking states, Atma is sagunaha. Atma is with attributes. Got it? This is how from the beginning there is contradiction in his own views. He contradicts himself. Therefore, in his commentary on the fifth verse, let me come back to the what Shankaracharya says, we're going to see. Again, one more thing. If Atma is all pervasive, it cannot have parts, and it cannot have parts, division is not possible. Saying Atma is all pervasive and Atmas are many, again, it's a contradiction. All pervasiveness and plurality cannot go together. This is another defect. So all these defects, Shankara Bhagavatpada thinks in his mind and he writes. We do not know this thing because we have not studied the Vaiseshika Matam. We don't know. So we have, let us remember all this. Okay, he remembers all this. Shankara Bhagavatpada's mind, all these are there because he knows. He sees these defects in the views of Vaiseshika. Saying all pervasiveness is the nature of the Atma. Atma is all pervasive. Then Atma are many. So that the plurality and all pervasiveness cannot go together. Because that which is spatially limitless cannot be many. This is another defect. Why these people have this problem of establishing the plurality of the Atmas? Because they want an answer for the differences in experience. We have to say why there is difference in the experiences of different individuals. All experiences of all the individuals are not the same. Of course, in Vedanta, we say individuals have their own different karmas. Paradha karmas are different. How we lived before are different. In keeping in the karmas we have, we all differ. Physically, intellectually, mentally, perceptually, experientially, we all differ. Different experiences we have. Even though there is certain commonness in experiencing things, still emotional life of every individual differs. Okay, everyone has one's own life. What I go through are different from what you go through emotionally, enjoyments, even external life, comforts, etc. There's difference. So lives are not, all lives of all human beings are not the same. Lives of all human beings all over the world are different. Even within a one family, people are different. In society, people are different. Community, there people are different. In country, people are different. Culture, people are different. My God, difference is not there, then why problems? Isn't it? Every whole Jagat will be Ram Rajyam then. And we had to always think our borders and conscious, and then to defend ourselves, we had to fight. Isn't it? Not our problems. So, of course, the differences are inevitable, unavoidable. They're all. But Vedanta Shastra says, these differences, okay, in experiences, are mithya. We're not denying it. It's not unreal. Our experiences are not unreal. If they're unreal, then you can ignore it. Unreal means non-existent. The problems in life are unreal. Then why should we make efforts to get rid of them? We need not work very hard to get rid of the unreal problems. Non-existent problems. At the same time, problems are not as real as we think also. So, they are not real. At the same time, they are not unreal also. But if we understand they are not real, all these differences, experiences, differences in experiences, the problems in life are all not real. They're not real, they're not unreal also. Once you understand this fact, there's a possibility of non-internalizing. There's a possibility of being objective. In being objective, in non-internalizing, we discover our permanent happiness and freedom. Therefore, how real are they? Shastra study is not studied to say that they are unreal. Shastra study is not for us to say they are unreal. They're as good as non-existent. They're as though real. We take them to be real. Therefore, differences are there. But when these thinkers, we have to account for all these. When you take these all experiences to be real, they're all real. The differences in experiences are real. Differences in life are real. The creation is real. Duality is real. When you take it as real, then we have to say why, how they are real. Real means, and we have to say the experiencer. Okay, all experiences become real. All experiences are real. Therefore, the experiencer also must be there. Therefore, they have to say, you know what now? If different experiences are there, isn't it? Then it is easy to say experiences are different because experiences also are different. So atmas are different. Therefore, they all hold on to this strong view of atma being plural, countless, multiple. And from one standpoint, they all uniformly say Atma is all pervasive. So we have to remember the first defect is what? All pervasiveness and plurality cannot go together. Second point, all pervasiveness and combination or connection, relationship is also not possible. All pervasiveness and having parts, okay, cannot go together. And once they say atmas are plural, and they have to say what? That is why they can say differences are there in experiences. Of course, they also accept karma, the laws of karma, and sometimes helplessly they have to accept Ishvara. All these things come. But all these, of course, thinkers uniformly accept the dharma, the values, etc. Because the more people are given to this study of what is, and they can't miss the values, the universal order. So they accept all that. Okay. So here, as we were seeing, in page number 403 of Panology's book, we just started yesterday. I quickly say once what is there in the paragraph. So Shankara Gurupada first says, Vaiseshikadayaha ye Ichchadayaha Atma Samavayanaha iti Ahuhu. These people of Vaiseshika school of thought and also Nyaya school of thought, all of them are of this view that desire, etc. They said desire means all attributes. Okay, etc. Atma samavayinaha. They have inherent, inseparable connection with the Atma. They say. Is it correct? Let us start here. If Atma has inseparable, inherent relationship, connection with all the attributes, I mean they can never be got rid of. So he says, Asat, that is not correct. Why do they say this? Why do Vaiseshika say? Their view is, there is a time, all pervasive Atma, there is a time, combines with mind. The mind and Atma come together, then there is, okay, origination of attributes. They become what? Attributes of the Atma. The Atma become Sagunaha. And there is a time, there is no connection with mind and Atma, and then no attributes rise, Natma is Nirgunaha. Which Atma? All pervasive Atma. Therefore, their view is not correct. This is the first he says. Then having said that, Shankara Bhagavatpada himself continues to say, Smriti hetu nam samskaranam apradeshavati atmani asamavayat. He says, Atma being all pervasive, he doesn't mention the Atma. I'm saying, Atma being all pervasive, it is not possible for Atma to have any new connection, okay, connection, with what? Even samskaras. Because Atma has no liquation. Atma has no location. Because Atma is all pervasive. And Atma is also what? Atma has no parts. No limbs. Being all pervasive, it is non-locate, it has no location. Being Atma has no location, it has no parts, no limbs. Therefore, it is apradeshavan asamavayi. Therefore, samskaras, Atma samskaras cannot join. It is not appropriate to connect, to say that Atma has connection with samskaras. And it's not appropriate to say Atma has connection with the memory also. So smriti and smriti hetunam samskaranam apradeshavati atmani asmavayat. There's no connection whatsoever. Is it clear? Atma cannot have a new connection with them because already Atma is all pervasive. Atma is never away from them, isn't it? Okay. Then Atmanaha Sanyogatcha Smriti Utpattehe Smriti Nayama Anpapattihi. Now again he says, see, there is a firm rule pertaining to the memory. How memory rises, how memory functions, what contributes for memory. There's a certain rule. So what is the rule? Definitely anybody has to accept this fact. Experience must be there for samskaras to be formed. Samskaras must be there, only then memory can be there. So memory presupposes samskaras, formation of samskaras, mental impressions. Mental impressions presuppose the experience. This is a rule. And say, if we say, Atmanaha Sanyogat Smriti Utpattehe, the memory rises as a result of Atma coming in contact with the mind. If it is said, this is also not correct. Already explained to you, isn't it? There is no way of Atma. Atma is never away from the mind. According to them, therefore cannot come again. It's a contradiction. Therefore, Atma Sanyogatcha Smriti Utpattehe Smriti Nayama Anupapattihi. Means what? There's impossibility of having the appropriate rule pertinent to memory if we say this only when Atma comes in contact with the mind, then smriti rises, memory rises. Which means the Atma is associated with also samskaras. Isn't it? In fact, it is not possible. So what he says, Atma and mind combine. The combination of the union of mind and Atma happens, then that is how memory rises. Actually, memory is caused by samskaras. Samskaras are because of the experience. Okay. Suppose if you say, no, definitely because of the association of mind with the Atma, and contribute the rising of memory, then what will happen? What will happen? Really, it is a fact, all memories will rise simultaneously. There will be a situation of having all memories rising together. But it is not our experience. You remember certain things now, certain things later on, but always. The simultaneously rising of all memories doesn't happen. It's not possible. If we go accept this Purpakshi's view, see, Vaisheshika's view, then we're accepting that. Is it clear now? This is a basic, with very, very simple teaching, he says. All pervasive Atma already associated with everything. Therefore, there's no way of newly coming in contact with the mind. And thereby contributing for the origination of attributes. Thereby contributing for the origination. Attributes mean what he says, the function of mentation happens when the Atma and mind come together. So now the question is, when is mind away from the mind? When is Atma away from the mind? Being all pervasive. For it to have new association, new union with the mind. Thereby contributing for rising of the thoughts, rising of attributes, or rising of memory. And connecting, how can we connect the mind, Atma with the samskaras? When is away? So the whole thing is incorrect. This is what Shankar Bhagavatpada, in the very opening statement, he says. The simple teaching, not something very big. Okay, good, next paragraph. The last, 403, the last ones. And, yeah, English 404. And he says, Nacha bhinna jatiyanam sparshadihinanam atmanam manadibhi sambandha yukta. Again he says the same thing. See, that is the first thing. This is the only way Vaisheshika has to be refuted. All pervasive atma cannot newly come in association, connect with the mind. Because already it is not away from the mind. So what he says, again, his atmas are many. All these countless number of atmas, according to him, are what now? They are devoid of these attributes, such as sound, etc. Okay? Atmas do not have what? No sound, no touch, no smell. These attributes, no? Attributes, this shabdas, parsh, rupa, rasa, gandaha. All these belong to the objects. Atma does not have all this. The way he says, sparshadihinaha atmanaha. According to him, atmas are many, and those, okay, atmas do not have, which are devoid of these attributes such as sound, etc. Sound, smell, taste, they don't have. And the bhinna jatiyaha, they are of different nature. Whereas mana adibihi, what is mind, is it? Mind is another substance. With the mind, sambandha, mana adibihi, sambandha na yuktaha. It is inappropriate for him to say the connection of the atmas with the mind. The reason was already was what I said. Already I said, all pervasive. The one thing I had to repeat today, okay? Okay. And next he says, nature. Okay, next sentence. Dravyad rupadeha gunaha. Karma, samanya, visesha, samavayahava, bhinnaha, santi. Okay. Now, paresham. He says, listen to me carefully, this Vaisheshikas present these, no, categories. As what? So, now, dravyam. Dravyam means substances. And he presents attributes is another category. Now, and he presents action as another category. Kriya. And he presents common property as another category. And special property as another category. He presents these as different categories. Really speaking, means they're all different. Whereas, Paresha means for other people, they are not different. See, what the categories presented as different categories are not different for others. Others means specifically for Advaitins. They are not different. Let me explain to you what it is. See, now Dravyam, substance. And then Gunaha, attribute. Now tell me, are they different? They're not different. In sense, okay, fragrant flower. Fragrant flower, I give the example. This is a flower. The flower is a substance. Fragrance is the attribute. Are they inseparable? No. Fragrance, or you can say blue lily. The color of the flower and the color are inseparable. Tall man, the attribute and the locus of the attribute are inseparable. So substance and attribute are inseparable. They are related already. There is no difference. But he separates them as what? Different categories. Okay. Substances are of one category and their attributes will become other category. And then action, our purpose also you can say, function. So this is the karma, okay? Now, what is a chair? Chair serves a purpose. It is for sitting, isn't it? The purpose the chair serves and the chair are inseparable, isn't it? Now the person who is writing, the act of writing, the substance is inseparable. The substance and action are inseparable. Substance and action are inseparable. Substance or attribute are inseparable. And a common feature of an object. Suppose any cow has what? Cowness. A tree has treeness. Is inseparable. A given substance is inseparable from its specific, the common feature belonging to a species. Isn't it? So the common feature of all the cows is inseparable from every individual cow. So substance and this common feature inseparable. In the same way, Paramanu being subtle, Visesha. Of course, every substance is non-separate from the special property. So, these are the four important factors, okay. So, karma, see, now we tell you. Dravyat, from the substance, attributes such as form, etc. Karma, action. Samanya, common property. Visesha, special property. All this, samavayaha. Va, binnaha. Okay, and these already the inseparable inherent relationship is there with all of them. Okay, but he presents them to be different categories. Whereas for Advaitins, they are not different. See, the categories presented as different categories by a Vaisheshika are not different for Advaitins. Already they are related. Already they are connected. The same point he is going to say later on. The Shankara Bhagavatapada tells us beforehand now itself. And having said that, he says, Yadi hi atyanta binnaha eva dravyat syuhu icchadayaha cha atmanaha tatachasati dravyena tesham sambandha anupapatti. Suppose if they are completely different. Atyanta binnaha cha dravyat. If they are totally, entirely different from, you suppose his attributes, action, or common feature, or special feature, if they're all entirely different from the substances, then there's no way of, having any connection. Entirely different means entirely different cannot be combined. Entirely non-different cannot be combined. Need not be combined, isn't it? Entirely non-different need not be combined. Entirely different cannot be combined. Got it? See, according to Advaitins, all are just substances. But they present them as separate categories. Okay? So, this categorization of categories itself is not acceptable for Advaitins. That we are going to see later on. He only says here. Okay. Now we go to the next point. Is it clear now? Such a simple thing. It looks. No, what is one point he holds on? All pervasiveness of Atma. That one thing is enough to knock off plurality of Atmas, Atma combining with the mind, combining with the memory, and conscious origination of vrittis. All this he negates. Again, categorization also is not. He says, we're going to see later on. Categorization is not acceptable for Advaitins. So why do you separate what is inseparable and say that there is connection? That's the thing. Okay. Next point. Now let me, before I read next paragraph, in Vaisheshika system, they have one technical expression. Know what it is called? Ayuta Siddhatvam. Ayuta Siddhatvam. Ayuta. Ayuta. Ayuta Siddhatvam. Ayuta, Ayuta, A-Y-U-T-A, Ayuta Siddhatvam is a technical jargon pertaining to specifically Vaisheshika school of thought. What is Ayuta Siddhatvam? Nothing but Samavaya Sambandha. It's another word for Samavaya Sambandha. Samavayaha means inseparable inherence or inseparable connection, inseparable relationship. Is Samavaya Sambandha. So, let me make it very clear. See, the substance has substance and gunas. Substance has samavaya sambandha with gunas. Inseparable inherent relationship is there between substance and attribute. This is number one, samavaya sambandha. Then substance and action has inseparable inherent relationship, connection. Okay, this second samavaya sambandha. Substance and the common property has inseparable inherent connection. This third. And the substance and the unique property, the special property, dravyam and viseshaha. Let me make it dravyam gunaha, dravya guna sambandaha, dravya guna sambandaha, dravya karma sambandaha, dravya samanya sambandaha, dravya visesha sambandaha. Okay? These we say what now? There is inherent inseparable connection. Inherent inseparable relationship or connection is called samavaya sambandaha. So this substance having inseparable inherent connection with these other categories, especially these four, okay, is said to be ayuta siddhatvam. I mean, it's a permanent, according to him, this inherent inseparable relationship of substance with the attributes, actions, common property and special property is permanent for him. The permanent inseparable inherent relationship is said to be ayuta siddhatvam. Ayuta siddhatvam. We are understanding all this. Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to say, this, you know, categorization itself is meaningless. He's going to say that. Anyway. Okay, why do you have to tell about this now? Let me tell you. See, in the previous first two paragraphs, in the passages which we have finished reading, where Shankara Bhagavatpada made very clear, all pervasive Atma coming in association with the mind is illogical. That itself is illogical, means, and where is the question of attributes rising? And where is the question of Atma having connection with, having attributes? Everything is incorrect. Is it clear now? That's what he says in all the paragraph. Therefore, now, Pura Pakshi, now what happened? Vaiseshika thinks, oh my God, yeah. Now he thinks that way. Yes, I said Atma is all pervasive. Atmas are many, is difficult, it's not right. He must be thinking in mind, okay, he doesn't say it out. Then, if all pervasive Atma cannot associate itself with the mind, because already not away from the mind, that is pointed out. So now he says, no. He accepts what he says now. No, Atma does not come in contact with the mind. There's no combination of Atma and mind. There's already inherent, inseparable connection with the Atma and mind. Got it? Well, what is Atma? Atma is substance. Mind also is substance. And anyway, already he has seen, according to him, there is samavaya sambandha between, there is inherent, permanent, inherent, inseparable connection with substances and other things. But now he says, yes, yes, I don't, I'm, he says, he doesn't say that mind, atma really combine. There's already they are inseparably united. Already there is inseparable connection between atma and mind. How? Because he already mentioned in with reference to the samavaya sambandha. So now he is mentioning about ayuta siddhatvam. As per the ayuta siddhatvam, this idea of ayuta siddhatvam means what now? Ayuta siddhanam. He says ayuta siddhaha. All these are already inseparably, permanently connected. Samavaya lakshanaha sambandha ayuta siddhanam na viruddhyate. He says, so this Vaiseshika comes with his objection saying, there is no contradiction, na viruddhyate. There is no contradiction that already there is what all the substances, okay, all the categories have what now? Permanent, inseparable, inherent relationship connection. Therefore, mind and atma are already what? Already have inseparable connection. So, attributes also what now? Your mind is already inseparably, mind and atma also have inherent inseparable connection. Which means attributes also become what? Inseparably connected. Atma and mind have what now? Inseparable, permanent, inherent relationship. Therefore, Atma and all these attributes also have inseparable, inherent relationship. Therefore, he defends himself now. Atma and mind do not come together. They already have inseparable, inherent, permanent inherent relationship. That's what he means. Therefore, there is no contradiction. There is no contradiction in saying, okay, the mind and atma have permanent, inherent, inseparable relationship because there is ayuta siddhatvam. Already we showed how all the substances and attributes, substances and actions, substances and common property, substances and special property, all these categories have all the inseparable, permanent, inherent relationship connection. So Atma and mind also what now? Already have inseparable, permanent, inseparable, inherent connection. There's no contradiction then. Got it now? Got the point? Shankara Bhagavatpada says, nah. Somehow he wants to say mind and atma are connected. Mind and atma combine. He has to say that atma and mind combine. The combination of mind and atma is there. That is so attributes rise. Okay? He has to say that. But now already it was shown, isn't it? He says, Shankara says, no. saying that mind, the ayuta siddhatvam, this your view of ayuta siddhatvam, permanent, inseparable, inherent relationship of these things, okay, that is not acceptable here. That is with substances and actions. Substances and the actions or attributes. That is there you can talk about the inherent relationship. Inseparable inherent relationship can be accepted with reference to substances, attributes, substances, actions. But we cannot talk about the inherent relationship between Atma and mind. In permanent, inherent, inseparable connection between Atma and mind cannot be accepted. It's not correct. Got it? Ayuta Siddhatvam is not acceptable in the case of mind and Atma. Okay? And he's going to give the reason. Okay, let me make it clear before I read this paragraph, passage. See, according to Vaisheshika, all these attributes such as desire, etc. Desire, likes and dislikes, pain and pleasure, all these attributes, they rise, they originate. They are generated only when the mind and Atma come together. When there's a combination of mind and Atma. Until then, they do not originate. Which means, when they originate, there is a waking state experience and there is a dream state experience. So only in dream, only during dream, only in the waking, these attributes become generated when the mind and Atma combine, when there's combination of mind and Atma, which means there is a time Atma remains without attributes, which means before the origination of attributes, Atma is already there. Because Atma is, according to him, Atma is eternal also. All pervasive, eternal. Their all-pervasive eternal Atma is always there choicelessly. Where can Atma go? All-pervasive eternal. Atma cannot disappear anywhere, cannot escape. Atma is already there. So the Atma is existent beginninglessly, isn't it? Beginninglessly, permanently, all pervasively, Atma is always there. Atma is Nityaha. Nityaha Atma. Nityaha Atma. And what about these attributes such as desire, etc.? They are impermanent. Because they only just come in the waking state. They come in the dream state. And they go, come and go. They're impermanent. It is anityaha. Ichchadayaha anityaha. Atma nityaha. Atma is permanent. Being timeless and all permissive. Atma is always permanently existent. Whereas these attributes, etc., they only originate at a time. In the waking state and disappear. And they originate in the dream state and disappear. They are impermanent. So impermanent attributes which are dependent on mind and Atma to come together, which come at a certain time, they disappear another time, and what about Atma is permanent. Therefore, they cannot be impermanent, arriving, departing attribute such as desire, etc., cannot have permanent, inherent, inseparable relationship with permanently existing Atma. How can impermanent attributes have permanent, inherent relationship? Inseparable relationship. Something permanent. Got it? He's also clever how he says. He brings Aitu Siddhatvam to answer. He uses his Aitu Siddhatvam idea to say that mind and Atma combination is okay. But Shankaracharya has to say, if it is held, mind and Atma combination is there, then he has, it is not correct, because having the mind-Atma combination means accepting what? Accepting the inseparable inherent connection of impermanent thoughts which come and go, impermanent attributes with what? Permanent Atma. Is it clear now? So he says, again one more point I want to tell you, I forgot to tell you. See, according to Vaisheshika, it's another problem he has. When a given attribute rises, when the mind and Atma come together, one given attribute rises. And that given attribute has to go, disappear completely for a new attribute to rise. So every time Atma and mind come together, an attribute rises, and again mind and Atma separate, the attribute goes, again new attribute comes. This is his view. Huh? Yeah. So, there cannot be all attributes. One attribute has to go for other attribute to rise. All attributes cannot be there. This is another view he has. Therefore, is it clear enough? So what Shankaracharya says, Ayuta Siddhatvam means what? Permanent, inseparable, inherent relationship between substances and actions, etc. That's okay. But not in the case of Atma and mind. Why? Because all attributes come and go, they're impermanent. They originate, they are generate, in, attributes are generated only when the mind and Atma combine. Only in the waking state and the dream state. But in deep sleep state, they are not there. Which means attributes are of the nature of coming and going, arriving and departing, they're impermanent. They're dependent also for the combination of mind and Atma. Whereas Atma is permanently existent always. How is it possible for this impermanent, arriving, departing, time-bound, ephemeral attributes to have permanent, inherent, inseparable relationship with permanent Atma? So Ayuta Siddhatvam does not work in the case of Atma and mind. So that's what he says in the second line. I've explained to you already. Let me explain here. Ichchadibhyaha anityebhyaha Atmanaha nityasya purva siddhatvat. Nityasya Atmanaha purva siddhatvat. Ichchadibhyaha anityebhyaha Aito siddhatva na Aito siddhatva upapattihi. there is impossibility of Aita Siddhatvam. Aita means permanent, inseparable in relationship of permanent Atma with impermanent thoughts, impermanent attributes. That's not acceptable. He says, Atmana Aita Siddhatve Cha Ichadinam Atmagata Mahatvat Nityatva Prasangaha. Then suppose if we say, suppose if he says, there is Aita Siddhatvam, there is permanent, if at all he can say, if at all he says there's permanent, inherent, inseparable relationship, connection between Atma and his attributes, if at all he says, then what will be the problem? Just as all pervasiveness is inseparable, nature of the Atma. All pervasiveness is inseparable, permanent nature of the Atma. Like that, if Atmana Aito Siddhatve, if it is there, then what happens? There will be all attributes will be there permanently in Atma. Which attributes? Opposite attributes. There won't be only pleasure. You can't say Atma has only inherent relationship only with the pleasure. You can't say that. All attributes will be, if at all he says, see, it is not acceptable, okay? If at all we accept, if at all he says, no, there is this permanent, inseparable, inherent connection of attributes with the Atma, then what will be the problem? All attributes, all opposite attributes, pleasure, pain, heat, cold, loss, gain, is it? You can say, punyam, papam. Poor Atma will have to have both punyam, papam, dharma, adharma, isn't it? All attributes will be uniformly, permanently inherent in Atma. Okay, Nityatva Prasangaha means what? There'll be the situation of having all the attributes such as desire, etc., permanently, like the pervasiveness in the Atma. Is it clear now? And is it desirable? Can you say, is this desirable? He says, sahacha anishtaha. Such situation of Atma having permanent, inseparable, inherent relations, connection with all opposite attributes is not desirable. Why? It is illogical. Got it? Why it is not desirable, illogical? Then, what is the use of discovering this Atma? And this Atma having one's real nature, all jivas will have, there will be situated, we'll read the next sentence. Atmanaha anirmoksha prasangat. Atmanaha anirmoksha prasangat. Why it is illogical? Why it is not desirable? What is not desirable? Having this stating that this permanent Atma has inseparable, permanent inseparable inherent relationship connection with all the time-bound impermanent attributes. Even all this sentence, it is wrong. If at all we say this, there'll be what now? all attributes will be permanently sitting in Atma. The situation of having all opposite attributes permanently in Atma, then that is not desirable. Why? Because all these so-called jivas work very hard for moksha, have no choice at all of becoming free. So there will be impossibility of discovering freedom, impossibility of attainment of freedom. The whole effort will be vain. Anirmoksha prasangaha. Atmanaha anirmoksha prasangat. There will be a situation of impossibility of attainment of moksha for all the for the Atma. Because according to him, you can say the jivas. Because Atma is the truth of every individual. Every individual has one Atma also. And every Atma is what now? Every Atma permanently has inseparable inherent relationship, connection with all opposite attributes. The pain and pleasure, pain and pleasure, pain and pleasure will be there. One has to throughout go through pain and pleasure. Where is the freedom? Therefore, these are all, what now? Logical fallacies found in the systems of philosophy and whose the teachers are said to be what now? Logicians. Nayayikaha. That's right. Tarkikaha. They're all tarkikaha. The thing is, Sangapurpada is going to say later on. Now we finished. Okay? We go to the next thing. One more thing we have. And he, no Purupaksha, only one small he came and he knocked off. That's all. Is it kind of where he, 2 points he got it? Okay. And he is going to, now Shankar Bhagavad in page number 405, the opening first paragraph, Shankar Bhagavad states how even the categorization, the enumerating the categories itself, is meaningless. He points out the meaninglessness of the enumeration of categories in this paragraph. With this, Vaisheshika's condemnation of Vaisheshika's view gets over. We'll see what it is. One thing. See, this Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Yoga, Sankhya, all these philosophers are Astikaha. Their systems, Darshanani are known as Astika Darshanani. Why? Because all of them accept Veda also. They are not, that's why here he doesn't even bring into the picture the non-believers. Nastika Darshanani are not mentioned here. In spite of accepting the Veda as the Pramanam, still they have this confusion because for them Veda Shastam is the secondary Pramanam. For them logic is the primary Pradhanam. Primary Pramanam. Primary means of knowledge for all the schools of thought is logic, reasoning. And they use Veda as a secondary means of knowledge. That is why when they use their own intellect to crush, they crush their own intellect and trying to arrive at the truth, still they're amazingly brilliant brains. Swamiji, all Hapsak, they're all rishis, no doubt. But still it is impossible to arrive at what has to be known through Veda. To arrive at using their own intellectual capacity. Okay, using merely logic as a main means of knowledge and having support of the Veda. Accept Veda as secondary means of knowledge is the reason for their having to struggle like this. Okay. Now, what does Shankara Bhagavatpada show in this particular paragraph? Let me tell you. Listen to me again before I read, because I make it easy. See, there are these categories. See, that's why we have to know what categories are. We can't understand otherwise. Dravyam, Gunaha, Karma, Samanyam, Visheshaha, Samavayaha. Remember all these things now? Okay. Now, the Samavaya, what is Samavayaha? Samavayaha means Samavaya Sambandaha. Samavayaha is equal to Samavaya Sambandaha. Sambandaha means relationship, connection. Samavayaha means inseparable inherence. So inseparable inherent relationship is called Samavaya Sambandaha. Now, Dravyam Gunaha Karma. Dravyam has Samavaya Sambandha with what? Guna, attribute. Dravyam has Samavaya Sambandha with Karma. Dravyam has Samavaya Sambandha with Samanya Visesha. See, they're all different categories. So, all these categories, okay, having relationship, understood how? Samavaya Sambandha. Now, what he has done, he has presented the inherent relationship also as one category. Samavaya Sambandha itself is presented as one category. To understand the inherent relationship between the category 1 and category 2, we have Samavaya Sambandha. Got it. To understand the inherent relationship between Dravyam and Karma, Samavaya Sambandha. To understand 4, we have Samavaya Sambandha, isn't it? Now, to understand the connection between 2 categories, Dravyam and Samavaya Sambandha, what is the category? What's the connection? The Samavaya Sambandha is the category. Dravyam is a category. What connection does this category have with this category? Which means you need another category to prove the connection between these 2. Got it? Okay. If it is another category, and that will need another category to prove the connection between those 2. You all got it? Found it? It will end up in what? Infinite regression. It will never come to an end. So what Shankaracharya says, this Samavaya Sambandha, inseparable inherent relationship, that itself need not be presented here as a category. Again, to substance and attribute, of course, have inherent, whether you say or not, they are permanent. Their inherent inseparable relationship is always there. No substance has, no attribute exists independently without the substance. All these attribute, gunaha, karma, samavayaha, sorry, samanyam, vishesha. All these are always permanently inherent in substance. We don't need to show as the samavaya sambandha. And showing, and present samavaya sambandha is a separate category. Understand? Already it is known. This categorization itself is meaningless. Because you can say, now these, to show the inherent relationship between karma, substance and guna, substance and action, substance and that, we use one category of samavaya sambandha. But to show the connection between dravyam and samavaya sambandha, is it? There's no other category. And you cannot say, no, that, for that you don't need another, you can't say that. Which means for some you follow one thing, for one category you are rejecting it, not showing the connection. Is it clear? Therefore, this enumerating these categories itself, okay, itself is meaningless. Okay, let us read here. Samavayasya cha. So Shankara Vipara, simply he says, there's no purpakhan thing, simply he says, samavayasya cha dravyat anyatve sati dravyena sambandhantaram vachyam yatha dravyagunayoho. What he says, if the samavaya is a category different from the substance. The samavayaha, meaning the inherent inseparable relationship itself, is presented as a category different from substance. Then we have to present another category to show the connection between substance and samavaya. Right now? See, samavaya is the category which shows the connection between substance, attribute, substance, action, substance, other things. But to show the connection between substance and samavaya, you need another category. If we go on, then what will happen? There'll be the problem of infinite regression. Yatha dravya gunayoho. Just as to show the inherent inseparable connection between substance and attribute, we have samavaya as another category. But to show the connection between dravyam, substance, and this inherent relationship, what is the category? And you have to say another category. Therefore, what now? This will be a problem of infinite regression. Then, samavayaha nitya sambandha eva iti na vachyam iti chet. The second sentence is actually Pura Pakshi's view. Okay. Oh, samavayaha nitya sambandha iti na vachyam. We don't need to take samavaya as, you know, samavaya's permanent connection. We don't need to say that. We can just ignore it sometimes. Sometimes we can use it. He says what? Samavaya sambandhavat. Shankaracharya's answer is, samavaya sambandhavatam nitya sambandha prasangat prutatva anupapattihi. He says, the samavaya sambandhavantaha means all this substance action, substance attribute, substance common property, substance special property, all these have permanent inherent inseparable relationship connection. Therefore, categorization of these to be different and separate itself is meaningless. Nitya sambandha eva samavayaha. See, when they're always impermanent, they're always inseparable. Substance and attribute are always inseparable. Nitya samavayaha means there is permanent, inherent, inseparable connection between substance and attribute, between substance and action, substance and this common property, between substance and special property. It's permanent. The connection is permanent. Therefore, prithaktva anupapattihi. Prithaktva means what? The separateness. Okay? So this enumerating these categories separately is what prithaktva is. Anupapattihi. Anupapattihi sometimes means impossibility. Here it means not necessary, unnecessary. Unnecessary means what? Meaningless. Categorization of these categories which have permanent, inseparable, inherent connection itself is unnecessary, meaningless. Okay, having said that, he says, atyanta prithaktvecha dravyadinam shashtyarthanupapattihi. If the substances are, substance and with their respective other categories, if there is total separateness, if this atyanta prithaktam, if separateness is there, total separateness is there, then connection, connecting them with sixth case, okay, affix is not possible. What he says is, let me tell you, shashtyartha anupapattihi. See, shashti in Sanskrit language is sixth case. Shashti means sixth case here. The sixth case form is used to show the relationship between, connection between two factors. Suppose Ramasya Pustakam, the book of Rama, Rama's book. That of, book of Rama, or Rama's book, the possessive case form, is it? Is used, the possessive case always shows the relationship. Positive case form is used to show the connection, relationship between two factors. Isn't it? His house. Okay. House of Rama. Rama's house. The of indicates what? The positive case ending. The positive case form always shows the connection between two factors. The using the positive case form is possible between things which have relationship, which have connection. If there's no relationship at all, atyanta prithaktve, if there is total non-separateness between things, then using sixth case, I mean using, showing the connection, the sixth case form is not possible. Like what? Like sparshavat asparsha dravyayoho iva. Asparsha Dravyam means an object which cannot be touched. Asparsha Dravyam is an object which cannot be touched. An object which cannot be touched cannot have connection with what? The sense of touch. Using the sense of touch, we cannot, it's no use. The sense of touch is of no use in the case of touch, knowing an object which cannot be touched. Asparsha Dravyayoho Sparshavati. How there is no connection. In the same way, if things here, Atyanta Pratyaktve, if things have total separateness, then it is not possible for them to have any connection using the sixth case. What he means is, these things actually, substance, dravyasya gunaha, the dravyam, you can say attribute of the substance, attribute of the substance, action of the substance, unique feature of the substance, special feature of the substance. There's a connection, isn't it? There is use. Whereas, there's a connection is there, isn't it? Inseparable inherent relationship of the substance. With what? Between Samavaya and between Dravyam, you cannot show the relationship. Between substance and attribute, got it? You can show the connection. See, Dravyasya Gunaha, attribute of the substance. You can connect it with what? Using the sixth case form, you can show the connection between the substance and the attribute. Dravyasya karma, action appertaining to of the substance. The connection is there. Dravyasya samanyam samanyaha gunaha. You can show the connection between whatever. The unique special feature of the substance. Common feature of the substance. Action of the substance or pertinent to the substance. Attribute of the substance. Between these, you can say, you can show what? You can show the connection. The relationship is understood. Isn't it? And you come, you see this of, which is the sixth case form, is it? Whereas, inherent inseparable relationship of the substance with what? Isn't it? So with these you can say, so that doesn't come well, which means that cannot be a separate category. And to show the connection between those two, you can use the samavaya, which is a category, which is personal as a category here, samavaya sambandha, inseparable inherent relationship, you can use that category to show the connection between these two, these all. Between substance and action, substance and attribute. But to show the relationship between, connection between substance and the relationship, inherent relationship, samavaya, there's no category. Therefore, what he says, he does not negate anything here. This Vaiseshika's very effort of presenting, enumerating, these categories separately itself is a vain effort. It is meaningless. Why should we present them as separate categories when there's already naturally permanent, inseparable, inherent relationship with all of them? Okay? That's what he says. Shashtyartha anupapattihi. Like what? The sense of touch is of no use with reference to, okay, an object which cannot be touched. You got a connection here? Hope I have made it very clear. Yeah. Having said, Vaiseshika has gone home. So what should we remember now? And he's going to give a beautiful, beautiful teaching. He really gives the essence of teaching here. And we're going to see this here. The Vedantic teaching, now the consolidation of Vedantic teaching will be presented in the following paragraph. Very interesting portion follows now. In all these verses from, this is which verse now? In these verses from fifth, after fifth verse until now, he negated these views. And at one particular karika, he makes it very clear, isn't it? One person's experiences need not be the experience of the other person. For the experiences to be different, atmas need not be different. Therefore, there's no need for the atmas, the plurality of atma is not acceptable. Just because experiences are different, atmas also must be plural. That view of Vaiseshikas, all other people, even in fact, the yoga, Vaiseshika, Nyaya, Sankhya, all their views that way is negated. Plurality of Atma is negated. Is it clear? And the second thing, that's why example was given, the dust and smoke obtaining in one part space does not become the dust and smoke of other part spaces. Means one person's experience of pairs of opposites does not become the other person's experience. For all the experiences to be different, atmas need not be different. Atma obtaining in all the body mansions complexes is one. First of all, Vaiseshikas, they think atma is matter. For them, substance, isn't it? They do not even think of a consciousness here. As I said already, knowledge is only an attribute, and for which mind has to come in contact with the atma. Mind, atma should combine, only then an attribute, the knowledge can rise. There's only an attribute which comes and goes, which is like our, isn't it, cognition which come and go. So when the anatma is taken to be the atma, not having clue of what atma is, when any amount of research done within the realm of material world will not help you arrive at the truth. Because the search is within the realm of the material world only. Why the search is only within the realm of the material world? Why can't we see what is the truth that I am searching for? It's not within the realm of the material world. It's something distinct from this. Why we can't think like that? When we human beings use our own intellect, okay, and then we try to use logic, the reasoning, to understand what is distinct from the material world, then the failure happens. The thinking makes you, you really use your buddhi. You come, this must be. Lot of, speculations, but you're not able to arrive at the, why? Because they did not use Shastram as the Pramanam. This is the Shastram. In order, only if we use Shastram as the Pradhanam Pramanam, as a main means of knowledge, we will have the clue that we have to search for the truth not within the realm of the material world. We can try to search for the truth as the truth of the material world, not within the realm of the material world, as something to be distinct from the material world. Of course, then for which you need to use Shastram, Upanishad as the Pramanam, as a means of knowledge. Then the logic and reasoning can be supportive of what you understand from the Shastra. Otherwise, what happens? We use Shastram only when necessary. But here the total faith is in your own means of knowledge. You are relying only on, when you do not use Shastram as the main means of knowledge, then we rely only on our means of knowledge, which have limitations, which can only help us analyze, understand things within the realm of material world. As a result, he comes to the conclusion what? Atma is one of the substances, so inert matter. That's why in the self-contradiction, contradiction with the Vedic teaching also. Self-contradiction means what? There's contradiction in his own views. One view contradicts with his other view. And it's a contradiction with the Shastra teaching also. It's okay? If still you have any confusion, I can talk to you. Because today I thought, because if I did too much of samskama, so I didn't want to make you feel tired. I love to read up one by one and then explaining. And then I thought, the simple facts to make it clear, I don't want to waste much of time in this. I had progress, no? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.